What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is May 14th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. I will be joined momentarily by Alex Pawlowski, but I wanted to go live immediately. We might start doing this a little bit more often because I'm ready a few minutes earlier. We can talk about a whole bunch of things. If you're here right now, leave a thumbs up, tap the bell for notifications, subscribe, all that good stuff. We have had a busy week here on the Fightful YouTube, as well as our many other social media platforms, as well as an important day on Fightful Select that we will tell you about momentarily. But if you're not, please subscribe. We definitely appreciate the robust number of new subscribers we've gained over the last few months. And this week, we're giving you an awful lot. In addition to, you know, all the great coverage that we did, we've got three interviews back to back to back. We had Kenzie Page, the youngest NWA World Women's Champion, talking about her upcoming match this weekend with Natalya. And Natalya even submitted a question for that interview. Then we had Steve Maclin talking about the much discussed, maybe not real blood ban in TNA and why he believes that was the case. And then today we dropped the one with the former Sonya Deville, Daria Baronato, just somebody who I love speaking to. Check that out, guys. Lots of content here on YouTube, but by God, we're here to talk AEW. We're here to talk Dynamite. We're here to talk Beach Break. And there's a lot that happened, but just as the show started, yeah, boys, at FightfulSelect.com, we had teased some big contract news for today. And man, I'm just you see the reaction to this one, and clearly AEW fans are happy. FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business, reported that Willow Nightingale has re-signed with AEW. Now, this comes after last week we had we had reported that AEW was hoping to keep her, but she was in a contract year. I'm told that deal got done very quickly after our story. So they clearly wanted to make that happen. And also, as we kick this off, I want to say congrats to this person here, Addie Carver, finished graduation. Congratulations, Addie. Listen, we love that. It's a very special day, and I appreciate you celebrating this week with us. But get your super chats, get your humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate if you guys did that. That gets your questions or statement read on the air. If you like the Q&A format, well, FightfulSelect.com and that $5.99 is the right place for you. And also, even though, yeah, I think Alex got to greet her as they were on the air last night, happy birthday to Kate, who is such an important part of the Fightful website. And then he joins. Of course, he joins just as I'm doing it. Alex, you joined just as I was wishing the wonderful Kate a happy birthday, but I'm pretty sure you all were on the air by midnight Eastern last night.
We were.
Anyway.
So, got to sing her happy birthday, got to read a lot of super chats wishing a happy birthday to our favorite Kate. It's nice.
She's the best. Nice. I cannot tell you guys, like, beyond the help that she's given us on the site in general. I mean, like, when the ROH show went away, she was like, well, why don't I take more of a spot in social media? And it's been incredible helping our workflow there. So we want to send Kate the happiest of birthday wishes. You know, at 9:10 Eastern, as soon as that women's match went on the air, she was getting herself some vegan chicken tenders immediately.
That's right.
Just to avoid watching any of that.
Watching any of that.
Really does. Really does. Alex, I know something you didn't hate watching, because I definitely didn't get very aggressive messages from you last night talking about Hot Rod. Now, I'm going to shame you publicly because I guilted Alex into watching the 2007 Andy Samberg classic Hot Rod. He didn't want to do it. I offered to pay him for it, him to review it, to reimburse it, all that stuff. And I just want our chat to shame you for disliking this incredible movie.
That's fine. I have very specific cinematic tastes. And when this movie came out, I said to myself, you will not like that movie. And so I didn't watch it. And now, 18 years later, my boss and friend of 9 years shamed me into watching it. And in fact, 18 years ago, I was correct. I did not like the movie. I was correct that I would not like it. That's the thing. So, like, that's the deal. If it's fine. Everybody's allowed to like their own things.
First off, I want to say thank you, Zach Schimmel, for helping us chip away at this, because we just hired we brought back a writer that we've been trying to get for quite a while. So our margins are a little bit thinner now, and I did offer to pay them for it. And there's no way it's going to make us money, because it's going to be on the Fightful Select end. But
Also, I'm suing you for emotional damages that I actually sat through this. So that $50 is going to start. That's a good start.
Well, here's what I will take solace in. If you were to sue me, I would absolutely take that all the way to court and then make a jury also watch that movie, because they would have to watch it as well.
The judge would have to watch it.
Your attorney would have to watch it.
That poor judge, man.
I would put more eyeballs this entire situation. Thank you, Zach Schimmel. My God. Let's talk about this show. And I mentioned, by the way, Willow Nightingale has re-signed with AEW, according to FightfulSelect.com, Alex. One that we pretty well knew. I think I think it was on Kate's show Friday. I even said 99.5% chance she stays. But it's obviously, considering the nature of what she's involved in, great that they've got her re-signed.
Yes. She needs to be we talk about the pillars of AEW. I think those pillars can change identities over the years. And I think one for the next 5 years needs to be Willow. She's magnetic in every possible way. Amazing in the ring. Everyone loves to see her when she comes out. She wrestles internationally under their banner all the time. She's fantastic. And, I think that it is time here Double or Nothing 2026. We need to see her with the big belt around her waist. Let's figure out a way to get her to the top of the women's division and get her, like, her TBS title reign was fun, but everyone knew at the time was a transitional reign to put it on Mercedes. Let's get her a real title reign over the next year, because she deserves it. She's amazing.
Yeah. We were in our Fightful Select Discord the other day, and I had people asking, well, you always talk about consolidating titles. Which one would you consolidate? And I was like, well, listen, I at this point, I almost would rather ROH just, like, stop pretending that it's a thing. Like, if Mercedes and Tony fight and they combine those two titles, I'm good with the ROH title effectively replacing the TBS title as the other world title. And then, listen, they've got 5 women's singles titles and no tag titles. Yeah. I think that people like Willow could really benefit from tag titles and having that main title run. And then the main title run will mean more as a result of the consolidation. But I'm just glad to see her. Just glad to see her there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, also worth mentioning on this show, RIP Sabu. Want to send our love to his friends, his family, his fans. We covered this previously, but Taz had some
very nice things to say.
Very nice things to say. And there is no wrestler more tied to Sabu outside of maybe RVD than Taz. But, like, as far as across the ring, like, this was a seeing things like the lights go off, then they come on and Taz is there with a folded arm and Sabu is pointing up. It's one of the coolest things ever. Sabu inspired the look of one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Hayabusa. And by the looks of it, one of my favorite wrestlers of the future, Hayabusa too, because dude's wrestling exactly like the original. Mm-hmm. But Alex, any memories of Sabu you'd like to share?
Everybody talking about it, mid 90s, if all you were able to consume as a kid growing up was WWE, you would hear stories from, like, a friend's older brother about this guy Sabu, who's just crazy. Like, and the way that they would describe him He didn't seem real. He didn't seem like that was a possibility if all you were watching was what was on weekly WWF television. He was a trailblazer in every sense of the word. The style of wrestling that so many fans love to watch today, I don't think gets to be what it is without Sabu doing what he did, ruining his body for so many years, figuring out different ways he could put himself through a table. He was an absolutely avant-garde, brilliant, crazy dude, and he needed to be that so that he could become what he was.
When you see barbed wire, tables used in the manner they are used today, or stretchers, a lot of that is because of him. And also, we got to talk about how great his Twitter game was. Oh my God. Without even trying, I found a tweet that I had bookmarked for years where I can't remember if it was Triple H or Stephanie. It's like, I love you, love of my life. You're so wonderful, so fortunate for all you do for us and the kids. And he just quote tweets it with gross. And then at one point last year, I remember this vivid as day. It was 11 months ago to today. He tweeted tits. And someone says, big if true. And he replies, I like all tits. Big is good.
He typed that into the search bar and then hit send. But he was just trying to search for that. Right. Recognize that. But
the best of all time was Brian Kendrick's apology for the horrible things that he said.
Yep.
And Sabu replies with, LOL, what did you say, LOL? And somebody puts the Holocaust denial stuff, and he goes from, LOL, what'd you say, to, oh, shit.
Which is a like, good...
Sabu went, that, yeah. Probably a good thing you apologized for that.
Sure.
Lots of love for Sabu. Again, 60, far too early for somebody to go, but sending our love and, of course, thanking him for all the memories and thanking our wonderful friend Adrian, who just shows up here and shows us some love and gifts some memberships. So I put a lot of stuff up early access over there, including interviews that I don't zoom in the camera too much on, and they won't go up for 3 weeks as a result because I got to re-edit them. So enjoy that Hollywood Haley J interview, my friends. And thank you, Adrian Wells. You always support us in such a kind manner and rarely ask us to say anything about it. And we just appreciate you, my friends. A note, I am doing the moderating tonight. If some things are a little bit slower to get to, I apologize, but man, and meet Normus, Zach Schimmel. Look at these people just gifting. We appreciate you guys. Hey, you can also gift Fightful Select subscriptions now. Or what I always suggest, if you know someone who perhaps can't afford it or you don't have the means, simply rob somebody. That's what I suggest people.
Yeah, do. No, it's what you've been consistent with this since the very beginning.
Yeah.
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 Like consistent advice. Yeah.
If your friends like have jewelry, steal it.
Yeah. No.
Take it to a local pawn shop.
Right. Steal from your mother's purse. If you don't have a mother, then rob a bank.
Yeah.
You said this in the past.
You've been if you very don't have a mother,
get your advice. Yeah.
Get adopted and then steal their money.
Right.
Sure. Like, listen, if you want Qatar to fund you, by all means, do that too. Like, sure. Why not?
100%.
Stala World, thank you so much for the super chat. We greatly appreciate you. You guys get in yours. Oh, man, we got so much to talk about. A lot of people talking about the last two matches on the show. But let's talk about the first match on the show, which really the beginning and end of my analysis is what a slapper and what a finish. Will Ospreay and Adam Hangman Page defeat Takeshita and Josh Alexander. Now, I wouldn't have hated to see Takeshita and Alexander find a way to win this because they are like a regular tag team. But then again, you're talking about the two,
right?
If not one and two A and two B, you know, you could probably throw three or four baby faces at me. Omega,
right.
Ospreay, Hangman, Swerve. And if you said any were the top two, I wouldn't disagree.
Right.
And they had a phenomenal showing. The buckshot hidden blade was immediately something that you look at and you go, yeah, a run down the line, please, for them.
The Hidden Buck Blade Shot. The Hidden Buck Blade Shot is now my favorite double finisher. I'm all about the Hidden Buck Blade Shot.
It's unbelievable. And the match was just incredible. Like, what a way to kick this off. It really reminded you, oh, this isn't Dynamite. It's Dynamite Beach Break on HBO Max now.
It's Dynamite Beach Break in name only. Give me a surfboard as part of the set.
Yeah.
Have somebody come out wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Don Callis can't wear a Hawaiian shirt down to do commentary. If it's going to be Beach Break, make it Beach Break in
Taz,
some way.
You should have gotten Taz a Hawaiian suit.
Taz wearing like a bucket hat and some zinc on his nose.
I was about to say that. That's an Ian thing. That should have been an Ian Riccoboni thing.
Yeah,
that's
there
something
you go.
He would have done.
Everybody on commentary doing it in lifeguard chairs. Come on, let's get Beach Break going.
Yeah, one, I'm looking like Ugly from Salute Your Shorts. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Refresh.
He had the zinc. He had the little hat, all that stuff. Yeah, all that good stuff. But phenomenal match. These guys, just unreal. And then afterwards, they tease the dissension immediately. Now, first off, this match at AEW Double or Nothing, when you sandwich what we know we are going to see, right, Hangman and Ospreay, with the anarchy in the arena that I know we're going to see, mm-hmm, I'm like, how on earth is the rest of this card going to keep up? Like, those two things.
Right.
I am as excited to see those two things as about any match that I've seen or thought of this year, Alex. But Hangman and Ospreay is one that, like, if it main evented the show, I would not be bothered by it. But it's clearly going to be anarchy in the arena.
Right. What I liked about this is it was a can they coexist match, but the way it was just like they didn't like each other much. But Hangman he tagged himself in. And it was like, yeah, do your thing and then I'll do mine. That's how tag wrestling. If I tag myself in, you have a certain amount of time to do more offense before you have to get out. Like, I'm tagging myself in so we can win. Look over there. He's going to hit you. And
he is Will's a former tag team champion. He's well adept at this.
He's just, Will's just sitting there just shaking his head slightly, just muttering bruv to himself. And he doesn't recognize that Hangman wasn't trying to like steal his thunder. He was trying to win the match. And I like that eventually they did win the match and then they went immediately to hating each other.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. Good. Yeah.
I now want, like, I kind of think I know what I want the Hurt Syndicate's match at All In to be. And I think I want it to be Takeshita and Josh Alexander against.
Right.
Against the Hurt Syndicate.
Yes.
Because holy crap, they're so good. You want to talk about home run signings. And Josh Alexander is clearly a guy that can compete at whatever level. But immediately step in and you've got two big, burly sons of bitches with some credibility behind them in this tag team division. And it is phenomenal. Pat says, wrestling is just the best performance art, isn't it? It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and I love it. And I love that Valab is, man, I got to start putting more episodes, like old episodes, up on the membership element now. So
yeah,
we're going to be doing that. 2LT Photo says, my Sabu story was him climbing to the ceiling in New Haven, Connecticut, ECW show. 10 seconds later, he crashed through the ceiling beating Sandman. Oh, my God. Amir says, why isn't Jack Perry on TV? I don't have an answer for that. And quite frankly, there might be people in AEW that don't have an answer for that. I have asked about it. At one point, he was discussed for a possible program with Kenny Omega upon Omega's return that didn't end up happening. Now it looks like he's forging really cool shit out of iron or into iron in his backyard, which is an incredible hobby to have. Bill says, has Alex given his live review of Hot Rod yet? No, that will be on Fightful Select.
Yeah.
I will almost certainly find a way to do a run-in. Yeah. But I'm actually very excited to hear Alex bury this movie because he will bury it for every reason that I love it.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that you understood that there is, in fact, a wrestling connection to it. Now, it's not what we wanted, which was a wrestler in it. However, in two separate scenes, Bill Hader's character Dave wears a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt, and Addie Samberg's character, the eponymous Hot Rod, does indeed wear a Hulkamania t-shirt. So that's as close to wrestling as the movie gets, but I suppose it can be allowed.
There's also a bootleg Calvin and Hobbes connection there as well.
But
Bill Watterson would never signed off on that.
No, and not
James ever. Zimmerman, thank you so much. If you do have a super chat, please try to put it below. Again, I'm seeing the starred messages right mm-hmm. now, so it's not as easy without Luis here. But James Zimmerman said the NWA Women's Championship worked as a women's mid-card belt. Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't even think that the ROH women's title needs to be a mid-card belt. They're very clearly keen on having two people in their women's division in a singles capacity in AEW that you view as top-tier talent, whether it be Jade and whoever the women's champion is or Mercedes and whoever the women's champion is. I'm just saying, why can't that be the ROH championship at this stage? And right. Parker Hines has hoped they merge the tag titles. Listen, ROH, it's hard for me to ever believe it's going to be anything like what it used to be. So, Alex, I have said it too many times. I am good with world tag titles, whether it be men's, women's. Sure. And then Cool Beans, mm-hmm. Alex. Cool yeah, Beans?
The beans were very cool during that scene.
Cool yep. beans. Cool mm-hmm. beans. James Stalling says the wait continues for Cedric. Sai, I guess I continue to wait a little longer. Love you guys. Keep up the great work. So let's lean into that since that's already a subject of conversation here. First off, Top Flight, I felt like, you know, I was like, make me care about them. Let mm-hmm. me see some personality out of them. And I felt like they showed it an awful lot in this backstage segment. Yeah. I liked it.
I liked the backstage promo.
I didn't like the in front of people promo that we saw later on, but we'll get to that. Dustin Rhodes and Sammy appear. And again, I've got my things to say about all this because I like the ingredients, but
yeah.
Hurt Syndicate then defeated Top Flight pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And attacked them afterwards.
The Top Flight, this wasn't a title match, was it, tonight? This was just a match versus them. So, but we set up the backstage.
Sure.
Top Flight coming after the ROH tag titles because you don't just have Dustin and Sammy appear out of nowhere for no reason. That's a thing to set up something. So we're booking them in a match versus the AEW tag champs that they are most assuredly going to lose. As we are setting them up for a match versus the ROH tag champions. And I feel like that's spreading a lot of things too thin. Unless indeed we are going to consolidate everything into one giant tag division, which I'm not opposed to, just depending on how they use it. But Top Flight did some fun stuff, but they were no match for Bobby and Shelton. This thing of Dustin and Sammy also want the AEW tag titles just feels like it's just literally just out of left field.
Yeah, it is very out of left field, and I didn't like the in front of the audience promo, and it's, again, Dustin Rhodes, one of my favorite performers ever. I really like Sammy Guevara in tag matches, hardcore matches especially. He's really good, but I'm also talking about Dustin Rhodes, who is also the trios champion in ROH right now. And tag team champion. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, very clearly they should have never split those trios titles up. Like everybody was very happy to not have that be a thing because the trios titles are barely used.
They merged them and then they unmerged them. Don't do that. Once they've been merged, don't unmerge. That seems silly to do that. So the crew showing up were just crew. By the way,
what I took issue with was that MVP called it a brouhaha instead of a crewhaha.
Right. But do you know that crew is apparently an acronym that they use, that CRU stands for three? They are crazy, ruthless, and unhinged. But to me, that crazy and unhinged, that's the same thing. You're just using synonyms. So you should just be cur. because you don't need the you or Rue. You can be ruthless and unhinged. You can be that. But I don't know why we're doing crew. Anyway, they have more of a claim to doing anything since they beat Top Flight. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, they beat Top Flight and they beat who else did they beat? Well, they had the $400,000 match. But
yeah.
That's the most like Top Flight also beat them last month. I mean, yeah, like, they just
but the last match they had, they won that. Anyway, Leo being like, "Hey, Lashley, how's it going?" He didn't do Lashley, which I wish he had done that.
I do. He should have told him to hit him with your favorite pose.
I don't know if he needed to do that.
He should have suggested that MJF hit him with his favorite pose.
Okay, that's good. I like him basically saying, you know, because of our history we have together, what do you say you give us a tag team title shot? And then Dustin and Sammy being like, you can't jump the line. It's like, dudes, you're on ROH. That's your you just decide where you guys decided unilaterally the line starts behind you 2 minutes ago. So like, I don't understand what any of this means. I mean, we're getting crew versus Sammy and Dustin on Collision, and the winner of that gets a tag team title match. And I suspect the winner of that will be Sammy and Dustin. And when they have the match versus them, we'll just consolidate the titles. Because that seems like the only reason to do that match to me.
Parker Hines says, feels like Bucks or FTR should be gunning for the tag titles. It feels like right now is like the little placeholder until Cope and Christian, FTR...
Right.
Young Bucks. Maybe we get a Hangman Swerve run as well. But Josh Alexander, Takeshita, with those teams, I'm going to need somebody well-built and a well-crafted tag team division as opposed to just whoever else is around.
The Bucks, I think, have plans for All In. FTR has plans for All In. Once we get post All In, All Out into the fall, we're going to really have to start figuring out what this tag division really looks like when everybody's actually trying to be tag champs.
Yes. We got Kylie saying the show is fun. Stay awesome. FIFO. Love you all. Also trans rights. We appreciate you, Kylie.
Thank you, Kylie. Trans rights.
We also appreciate our wonderful sponsors at BetOnline.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of. All major sporting events are covered by BetOnline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Fightful Select betting tips had Lyra Valkyria as the underdog betting pick for Backlash. So you made a little bit of money on that one if you paid attention to us. Reminder, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. So I actually really liked how MVP led to the break. He's like, I've got a producer telling me I got 30 seconds, so make sure you all tune in. Because MJF is going to get what he deserves. And they're heavily implying they're going to beat him up. And they send Shelton back to find MJF. And he's hiding behind gorilla position. And Tony Khan sells him out immediately. And it's like, here he is. He comes out. He gets the two thumbs ups from Shelton and MVP.
Yeah.
And Lashley positions himself to have a hold of his scarf.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love, it like, I think it's pretty fair. We knew that he was going to say yes, but I loved Shelton sitting in the back, ready to super kick him.
Sure. No. Yeah. There's all of this is fine. I'm giving it until next week to see where they go with this because they laid it on so thick.
Sure.
That like, oh, like were they, but like when Renee says, hey, so what do you think they're going to do to you if they say no? And my thought was, well, I didn't know that a no came with a mandatory beatdown. I didn't know if it was like a side of fries that comes with the burger and the milkshake. I didn't know that was part of the deal. But MJF appeared to assume, oh, yeah, no, if they say no, they're going to rip my arms and legs off. Which is why he was hiding, and Tony Khan had to rat him out. But then in the, like, also we got MVP saying Maxwell Jacob Friedman's going to get just what he deserves.
Yeah,
they were laying it on so thick that they were going to say no and then rip his arms and legs off that everybody watching knows for a fact that that's not going to happen.
Sure.
I it would have been interesting to me because honestly, if you had just played it normal, I would have been wondering what's the angle here, but the angle was so obvious to everybody but MJF that they were going to accept him into the group and then say we're going to have a big contract signing next week, which again, fingers crossed, is the time they reveal that actually Cedric Alexander's going to be in the group, because I really don't want MJF cutting the promo of like, I don't like to work hard, so If I'm the Hurt Syndicate, they're just going to beat up all my opponents for me, and then I'll slide into the ring and get a pinfall, and I'll win, and I'll be the champ in no time. I don't want any of that, and I don't think MJF and the boys want any of that, so we are getting to a point where they're going to swerve him, turn on him, and then he's going to lose his mind. I just want that sooner than later, because the blue balls of getting to there is just no fun for me anymore.
So... Do you think MJF does enlist anybody eventually, or do they have a short run?
I think he could easily, because he's MJF. I don't think they ever actually fully accept him into the group, because it doesn't make any sense to me. It fundamentally makes zero sense to me in any way. The MJF with the Hurt Syndicate, because I don't see what they get out of it. They're not going to run a trio with him. Like, that's not a thing they're doing.
They might, since they're tag team champions, and that's a thing that AEW likes to do.
I suppose that's possible. MJF seems so convinced that what he gets out of it is an instant path to the world title, where I feel like Bobby Lashley would rather that would be him.
And you know, listen, to be fair, Shelton would as well, because
Shelton probably would.
It has eluded him his entire career. So
right, I think they are.
And Bobby Lashley would probably prefer that Shelton win it to MJF as well. So.
Right. I think that they are messing with him, and we'll get to see this type of character get his comeuppance for being so convinced that he was just going to be accepted, and that once he is accepted, he'll just use them as his security detail. Like, and so that guy is the guy who deserves to have his uppance cummed. You know what I mean? Like, he needs that.
Yeah. So later on, we see them say, okay, we got a contract signing next week, all that stuff. And MJF introduces Smart Mark Sterling as his lawyer. And MVP's like, what do you need a lawyer for? He's trying to pull the old Don King, Christy Martin, where it's like, you should be glad that you're even getting this opportunity. This contract doesn't leave here. And MJF is like, you wouldn't do that, so why would I? So that's an interesting wrinkle that I see there. How do you think that plays into things, or does it? Sterling the one that gets beat up next week?
Sterling finds a clause in the contract that they buried in there. You know what I mean?
That he's like warning him, like, really shouldn't.
You decide, no, shut up, Mark. This guy, sometimes you can't get good help. I'm totally going to sign this. And what they signed is that his own death warrant. You know what I mean? Like, that's something you could easily do there, but we'll see.
Yeah, I really like that. We had a zero-haired man defeating a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest tonight. Mm-hmm. And I got to be honest, they gave Zach Gowan an awful lot of shine here. He kicked out of a shooting star press, a springboard 450, the vertigo.
Yep.
And then he hit Ricochet with his own leg. I mean, I guess it's a super duper kick of some sorts.
Very good.
There you go. But eventually Ricochet wins with the spear gun. listen, if you're going to get heat, Ricochet knows how to get heat. I mean, quite frankly, based on what we saw on social media this past week, that guy can conjure up heat. It is almost like, it's like when people didn't understand the Young Bucks for a long time.
Right.
People were like, they just do too many super kicks and they're dressed like the Hardys. And then they dressed even more like the 1997 Hardy Boys. And they did 100 super kicks.
Right.
And people are like, oh, Ricochet's just an internet troll. And then he trolls even more and more and more. Dominic, we're seeing where they accentuated his negatives to a point to where the people love him now. Ricochet is a massive heat getter. Perhaps my favorite part of this entire match is when he goes for a figure four. There's nothing there. He can't do it. This was a heat match for Ricochet, and obviously Ricochet won.
Yeah, but I liked the Zach Gowen story so many years ago was that you just couldn't kill the kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had a crazy amount of heart, and so that's him kicking out of everything. My thing is that what he actually, his real, the thing that really got him in this match, why he lost, was that he sunk to Ricochet's level. When you are as white meat of a babyface as Zach Gowen, the one-legged man doing it for his family, you can't just decide, oh, turnabout's fair play. I'm going to hit you with this foreign object, even if it is my own leg, to get the victory here. And because he sunk so low, he had to lose. And sometimes it is really those old timey storytelling beats of like the morality. Wrestling can be a morality play. And there are certain things that if you are this kind of character, you can't do this. I understand why he did it, but because he did it, he could not therefore win the match. He was no longer pure anymore because he tried to cheat to win. If Rick Knox had not been Rick Knox, maybe he would have been caught doing it and been disqualified. I thought this was excellent. He kicked out of everything he possibly could. This fake leg thing was a desperation maneuver trying to get the victory. It was really well done, all of this. Ricochet got all kinds of heat from this. He's an absolute heat magnet. He's the guy, I think, that if Ospreay wins the title at All In, you build Ricochet with this kind of heat to face Will Ospreay for that title, and maybe that's where Ricochet gets his first title, world title run in AEW, is by beating Will Ospreay with this level of heat.
It is wild to think how long ago Zach Gowen was on the WWE show. He would not rank in their oldest 20 wrestlers right now. And I don't I only know AEW's as to like, I think maybe 10 oldest. Yeah. And I don't think that he would rank in like the top 10 to 15 there either. He's still just 42 years old. Thought he did really good in this match. I don't know how often he wrestles these days. I don't think it's like a ton. I think he, as I'm looking, he had 8-9 matches last year. He had 2 in 2023. He does not wrestle a ton these days, and you could not tell that he doesn't wrestle a ton these days. Yep. Good spot for him. Mark Briscoe makes the save afterwards. I'm sure this gets added to Double or Nothing, but
yeah,
you know, if
nothing else, it's a 0-hour match.
Yeah, you know,
Ricochet versus Mark Briscoe can be the main event of the 0-hour. It's a thing that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely the kind of match I would say put it on the pay-per-view week, Collision or Dynamite, and make that show a little bit more important.
That's what I would say too, but I feel like they're definitely putting it as one of the 17 matches on that Sunday.
Yes, we had Nigel McGuinness coming out, and he was interrupted by Daniel Garcia. And Daniel Garcia is encouraging him to help him face FTR.
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, I know you want to stay as an announcer right now, but listen, I believe in you. I grew up studying you, watching you, knowing how good you were. Like, really giving him a pep talk and all that. And it's a lot of the emotion that I want to see out of Daniel Garcia. And Listen, Daniel Garcia, in my experience, is a very composed guy. Like, even when he's if he's a little upset about something, he's very composed about it and measured. So, like, again, it's rare for me to even see that in general, because he is very calm and collected. Mm-hmm. Like, he does, the composure he maintains in the ring reflects to outside of it. But it was good to see him tap into that emotion. Stokely Hathaway came out and had a insane line on Nigel McGuinness saying, you think you can beat FTR? You barely beat Hepatitis. Mm-hmm. I was like, God damn. That was insane. Stokely has been nothing but good for FTR so far. Like, whew.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, listen, Dax and Cash are fine doing that stuff, but having Stokely cut that for them adds a new layer, Alex.
Sure. So let me tell you how excited I am for FTR versus Daniel Garcia and Nigel McGuinness. With Nigel McGuinness being that guy who is that now can be this really cool on-screen mentor sometimes, because he only does commentary for Collision. But if he was like an on-screen Dynamite mentor for Daniel Garcia, teaching him the ropes because Brian's not around, and that is interesting because Brian and Garcia had this, because Brian Danielson and Garcia had this relationship of like, I wanted him to be my son, but he turned his back on me. And if Nigel McGuinness is actually the guy who ends up teaching Daniel Garcia how to be that dude, when Nigel and Danielson have that kind of contentious relationship, that's really interesting. Let me tell you how much less I am interested in FTR and Stokely versus Nigel McGuinness, Daniel Garcia, and Daddy Magic. Why are we adding people to make it a six-man? Like, because that's obviously what we're doing, right? Like,
it feels very
obvious.
Listen.
I want the two-on-two. Just give me the two-on-two. I don't need the three-on-three. Just two-on-two, please.
Buddy, I am phenomenally interested in Daddy Magic and Stokely having a face-off in the ring and a strike exchange. I am very excited for that.
No.
I am so pumped.
I mean, Stokely has his place for sure. Him being a part of that mixed tag last year, where it was him and Stat versus Willow and Ishii. That was all that made sense at the time. Yes. You were putting off the Willow and...
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
And Stat match for a week later, all of that stuff made sense. At this point, there's Daddy Magic, I guess, got beat up by FTR weeks ago, so he's got a stake in this somewhere. But like, I don't need to watch the manager as part of the wrestling thing to get comedy involved, because I would just rather watch fantastic graps 100% and not worry about, okay, here's the point where Stokely comes in and postures and then gets his ass kicked and we all laugh and then we get back to the real graps, because that's what I want out of that match, is just 110% authentic, real,
buddy,
grade A graps. That's all I want.
Stokely was going through the same classes that all your favorite NXT wrestlers.
He was doing a lot of flatback bunks and forward rolls. I know.
He was. Yeah. James Stallings says Ricochet is doing exactly what he should have been doing in WWE. Glad he's given the opportunity to show how good he always has been. Yeah, there's a lot of talk of Tony fumbled in NXT. Like, listen, you could say that every week about Hunter fumbled, Vince fumbled. Who didn't fumble Ricochet in WWE?
Right.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
James Zimmerman says Mark and Zach is the tag team. So I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. I don't know if he's mentioned this explicitly, but it's enough to where I've gotten to it. I would not expect to see Mark Briscoe in another 2-on-2 tag match ever again in his entire career. Like from what I understood, that was something that had been communicated to AEW that he, at least as of his brother's passing, was not interested in. And it's something that AEW would honor. Like, if you go back and you look at his matches, you've noticed he's been at a bunch of tag matches, but they have been like 6-man, 8-man, 10-man, a lot of that. I don't think he has had a 2-on-2 tag match since then. So that I'm not saying 100%, but I would say as close to 100%.
Yeah.
Where the F is Adam Cole at? Would have loved if he made the save against Ricochet instead of Briscoe or even Speedball, but mostly Cole, he is the champ. I think actually Ricochet would be, you know, Ricochet's somebody I'm always interested in that one, but Adam Cole has not wrestled since the Claudio match. So I'm going to dig into this. I'm going to ask about it.
It's been a bit, but I like, so we'll see. They may add something for Okada. They may add something for Adam Cole, but the other two male singles champions are not defending their title at Double or Nothing. We got to get these other two guys title matches if they are healthy. I think we have something for Okada coming out of the main segment at the end of the night, but we don't have anything for Adam Cole right now. If Adam Cole is healthy, he needs to be defending that. He needs to have we're like 10 days away from the match. You haven't done from a potential match, if you even have one. We don't have anything for the TNT champion to do on the pay-per-view at all. And when you built Adam Cole up to get the title, like then to then be like, okay, well now he's on the back burner. Just feels like that's not a wise thing to do to me.
Well, the pay-per-view plans aren't set yet. We don't know what broadcaster will be broadcasting the upcoming AEW Double or Nothing. But what I can tell you is you can get the price that they get overseas with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Nord has been, quite frankly, our best, most versatile sponsor for such a long time. They come with a 30-day money-back guarantee, a huge discount, and 4 extra months. Now, in addition to that, you get all kinds of just incredible benefits. You can get NordVPN, get your code, claim your data, and get a free eSIM data from Saley. There's all kinds of deals they have on NordVPN.com/Fightful. They have the step-by-step on how to do that. But if you're a wrestling fan, this is going to save you so much money. If you want to completely cut the cord with cable, all you really need after that, Max, HBO Max, and Netflix now. And you can watch everything by changing your virtual location or AEW Plus with Fight. And you can usually buy the pay-per-views at a much more affordable price over there. NordVPN.com/Fightful. And if you're traveling to one of these shows, maybe the TNA show in Canada, maybe the AEW show in Mexico, Forbidden Door, any of the WWE European tour stuff, you can take your favorites with you. Maybe you got sports that you want to watch over here. They're not going to get it over there. You're going to be watching a bunch of wieners and stuff on Naked Attraction on TV over there in the UK. They put wild stuff on the air. You're just trying to watch a Broncos game or something, buddy. You're not trying to see all that. NordVPN.com/Fightful has you covered. It is a must-have for wrestling fans. Works for all your devices and operating systems. And if for some reason you can't figure it out, they got 24/7 tech support. That's in addition to it being the fastest VPN in the world. It's put over by all the top publications from Forbes, BuzzFeed, Wired, PC Mag, Huffington Post, Yahoo Tech, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. We got a lot about this women's title eliminator. Ryan says, Sean, do you think AEW refusing to mention Mariah tonight in Tony and Mina means they know she's pretty much gone? I would suspect that they suspect she's probably leaving. Alex, I think that she would be doing herself a big disservice from a career standpoint if she didn't at least wait until she could find out what the WWE offer would be.
Yeah, no, that's what free agency works like in sports.
Yeah.
Contract is up. You see what the offers are from everybody. Maybe you decide to stay where you were at because they made you a better offer. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like I think that's certainly wise. Also, with the result of this four-way eliminator match leading to this specific match at Double or Nothing, maybe if your plans are to have a major return of Mariah May during a match between her former lovers, Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa, maybe you wouldn't want to tip everybody off that it's going to be happening.
Sure.
Because you want to be as big a surprise as possible, so you keep all mentions of her to a minimum. Now, I don't know that that's happening, but if that was the case, if she showed up at Double or Nothing and ruined that match or afterwards or whatever to attack Mina or to attack Tony or both or whatever, I would not be surprised in the least. It's the perfect place for her to make a major comeback with those people in the ring fighting for that title she still wants. So, possible.
So let's talk about some of the entrances on this, because it caused a lot of discussion. AEW Women's Division blog, who sponsored the Fightful Awards, AEW.1, says, thank you, TK, for quickly bringing Mina's music back. I didn't think it was that bad. I'm told it's not a Mikey Ruckus song, but Tony Khan literally posted, yeah, I saw the criticism and changed it.
He already changed it. Like, it's while they were having the match, while they were having the match, somebody like, hey, Tony, you got to bring that match back. I got a vibe to her entrance. And he was like, already changed it. Like,
yeah,
he already had made the call. Like, that was a dude who's like, no, you know, it's not the same thing. We got to have the pan flutes. Without the pan flutes, she's nothing. We got to have pan flutes for Mina.
Yes. Some Fightful Select plugs. We did report that Mina Shirakawa was returning to AEW imminently and set for a push. So we see those happened. We reported 2 weeks ago, Sky Blue was backstage at Dynamite. Now she's back. Great to see her get a good reaction in her hometown. I remember when she wasn't even signed and she had a match and then they said, hey, by the way, do you want to be in the Battle Royal tomorrow? And it was in her hometown. It's incredible. Did a lot of media, her and Kyle Fletcher, leading up to this as they are in the Chicago area. Another entrance issue, though, and listen, I know a lot of people aren't watching Joshi Wrestling that watch our show, but Azumi came out to her Queen's Quest entrance. They've not been a thing for like 9 or 10 months. It should have been Neo Genesis at that point. That's the group she's been with since like July. But I enjoyed the match. I really liked how they played this last week, Alex, because I mentioned the unpredictability element of the Eliminators. And I just really think you got to break a lot of molds in wrestling. There are some things that I see, Alex, when somebody 100%. Hits a shoulder, when somebody hits a shoulder block and the person falls down and the guy looks down and then he runs to the rope. I go, what move are you? Are you about to do a people's elbow to this guy? Yeah. But it's what everybody does. Then there's the drop down. Does anybody ever get tripped? No, almost never. No. When you see somebody running to the ropes and they do the punch them, duck under. I want to see somebody get punched once in a while and absolutely decked. Or caught on the elbow on the way back through.
Mm-hmm.
One of them. Last week, I was convinced the four-way was to set up Tony getting contender without getting pinned. Mm-hmm. They swerved me. Then this week, I was like, oh, so it'll be this week. No, Tony got pinned by Mina, who just came back. And if you had any doubt that she could deserve a title shot like that, she pinned the champion. So I think satisfactory. In most situations, I'm really against that type of thing, but in this one, I feel like it played in really, really well.
No, it did. We saw last week that the four-way, if there's a four-way eliminator and the champ, I mean, I guess the only thing we haven't seen yet is if Mina pinned Sky Blue, is that an automatic Mina gets a title shot at Toni Storm? I mean, I assume it is, but tonight we saw Mina pin Toni Storm. Last week, we saw that
yes, if Toni Storm just wins the Fatal Four Way, she doesn't have an opponent. So I like that they set up those options here. I also loved that Mina won by reversing Toni Storm's big package, which was her move that she could not lose when she was her rookie version of herself.
Yep.
I thought that was a cool thing, because also Mina would know a little bit more about Toni, have her scouted, and Tony's reaction was great. Like, I can't believe that didn't work. Like, that was excellent. The post-match stuff with Azumi being attacked by Mercedes, who's still pissed that Azumi beat her for the New Japan Strong title, and then out comes Jamie to attack Mercedes. It's almost like there's anarchy in the arena, but that's dominoes. Later. That's later. Yes. That's later.
Dominoes are falling, and it's working very, very well. Yeah. Alex Fitzgerald says, shout out to TK for seeing the feedback and changing Mina's theme. Yeah. And another thing I want to bring up, there were a lot of people who jumped the gun and said, oh my God, they took Saraya out of the timeline video. And then I saw somebody say, yeah, well, they cut her celebration. Well, guys, I just want to tell you guys, Queen's songs are not cheap. Mm-hmm. And that's the song that played as she won. And they do not have that in perpetuity. So
that's
something they did to give her a very special moment, and clearly did. But, so Zach Schimmel says, correct me if I'm wrong, there should be no rope breaks in a Fatal Four Way or a cage match. Believe they've used these rules in the past. Maybe I'm wrong. Great show nonetheless. Love to Fightful. Well, this is a perfect plug. I was on Reffing It Up this week with TNA referee Daniel Spencer, former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas, and Brian Hebner. Please check out their show. But there were things that, just listening in on the show, they mentioned how Nia Jax does the bonsai drop, and it's an illegal pin because her feet are under the ropes. I didn't know that the pinner had to be completely in as well. Mm-hmm. But they actually brought up this point, and it's one that I've known for a long time. But just because it's no DQ does not mean it's false count anywhere. So here's the rule. For example, if me and Alex are wrestling, it's in a four-way, and I put him in an ankle lock, he struggles to get to the ropes. Well, they're not going to DQ me for holding on to it. But also, if Alex taps out and I let go, he's not beaten. It's an illegal pin. It's still outside the ring. It still has to happen inside the context of the ring. Now, in a cage match, that absolutely shouldn't ever be the case in a cage match, because it is contained within that. There is not really none of that, unless it's a cage with, you know, mats around the outside of the ring. But yeah, you still have to pin them inside the ring, Zach Schimmel.
Very good.
But yeah, I mean, listen, look at this. Efren says, adore you, SRS. Thank you. I adore you. I adore all of you that support what we do, and I greatly appreciate it. N. Simmons says, questions for you both. If they merge the women's and TBS title, should they change the TNT title to the TV title and start new? Oh, buddy, I would put an HBO on that title so quicker than I would brand that shit immediately. The HBO title. Just to have that, like, when we were younger, Alex, HBO meant something. Right?
It did. Like, oh, it really it did. Big.
It's not big. TV. It's not the TV title. It's the HBO title.
It's not your crap TV. It's HBO.
Big.
I just had an idea. You call it the Max title, and then it becomes the one that MJF wants more than anything else, because it has his name on it in gold. That's his whole thing. I'm going to be the Max champion forever, because that's my name. I am Max. That could be fun.
It can be like his $1 million championship.
There you go.
Oh, brother. For all the people who have been complaining a few weeks about Champs Nuva losing these eliminators, this is why they do it. The Shock win. The champions should be beating these people the majority of times. They absolutely should be, Jambeard. The Silver Screen Lovers tag team name. Wait, is that too many tag teams for Toni Storm? No. And I'll tell you what I also want. Every single big match that Toni Storm has, I want her to have a thematic entrance based on that geographical location. Yes. Like I would really love that. That is something special you can do. Mm-hmm. But Bryce says, I'm bricked. I'm hard. I'm chubbed up. I'm erected. I'm raising the tent. Tonight was a good show. Possibility that Mariah May comes back to cost Mina the title from Tony at Double or Nothing, or is that a reach? I keep trying to have people like trick me into saying, oh, so you're saying 100% Mariah to WWE? No, not till she signs the deal and rolls up there. It's pro wrestling, man. I said this about CM Punk too. I was like, it is never 100% not going to happen.
Right.
It's not even 100% that Punk isn't coming back to AEW one day. Right. Like anything can happen, but I wouldn't rule it. Listen, if they ask her to come back, she's still under contract.
Right.
The company.
Yeah.
And if they say, hey, well, we also want you to lose to Mina on the way out. Like,
yeah.
I bet she probably would.
Yeah. It's Mina. It's her friend Mina. Like that's the other thing is like, it's months now that she still has left on the deal.
Yeah.
It's not like it's up June 1st or something. Like you could easily do a thing where she comes back and has an extended program with Mina and puts over Mina on her way out. You could easily do that. It would be a nice thing for her to do. And, yeah. You know, it would be a good way of that kind of thing to not burn any bridges. But at the same time, like if her contract is up and she gets competing offers, she is free to choose which one she likes the best.
We had the main event. Samoa Joe loses to Jon Moxley. The match was all right. Like, it's fine. But yeah. All hell broke loose after this match to set up Anarchy in the Arena.
It becomes the thing of like, you know, oh my God. Like once you saw the door just clanging back and forth, like that was the loosest any door has been tied shut on any cage ever, because all of the members of the Anarchy in the Arena have to fit in there at one point. So, you know, that's the way it works. I thought that, you know, Mox getting color showed how much, you know, it's like, okay, this is a different thing now. I honestly have really loved all of the promos that Mox has cut about Samoa Joe. A whole generation of guys like me grew up idolizing Samoa Joe. He's still the toughest son of a bitch in the game. I'm still going to beat him. But, like, putting him over ahead of time is a really good thing. This was fine. A hard hitting, bruising battle in a cage, and then
not a cage match that I am going to remember for any significant period.
No,
of time.
But no, it's fine. It didn't need to be in the cage because we all knew the cage wasn't going to keep out anybody. Because you know it's fine, but it's all there to have the oh well now everybody who was going to help Jon Moxley has been taken care of. I guess he's got nobody to help him now. And then
because Hobbs disposes of someone. And I do like the symbolism of a cage cannot contain this. Just let it loose in the arena. Listen, guys, if you've watched Fightful long enough, you know, I'm going to geek out over Gabe Kidd. I was on the Gabe Kidd train before like 90% of people back in like What Culture Pro Wrestling. I was a Gabe Kidd guy and I was interviewing him years ago. And I remember as soon as we hit stop record, I was like, anytime you want to do an interview, please let's do an interview. And Nonstop Goose says, only seen this in the Fightful interviews from Gabe Kidd, and I love him. He means this shit. Look at me. More than you could imagine. He means this shit. Yeah. Efren says, Max changed his name back to HBO Max today. I know. I'm excited. I'm glad. I don't know why you would get rid of your most valuable branding.
I have no idea. Like I have an old TV that I haven't updated the app on the smart TV on the Roku from HBO Max to the Max app. I just don't now. I also don't have to update it back and forth. I just
deleted it last week, Alex. Literally. Thomas G says this is a very bald episode. Gabe Kidd fit right in with the Death Riders. Hope we keep seeing him on AEW. But James Stallings says confused why Gabe Kidd is in the Anarchy match. But hey, I'm never going to turn down a Gabe Kidd appearance. An incredible talent. Well, buddy, you better believe that within about 30 seconds of him opening his mouth the next time or him touching a keyboard, he's going to give you a reason. Yeah. And I got to be honest with you. A reason from Gabe Kidd might be, I fucking wanted to.
Right.
And everybody goes, All right. He had people in AEW legitimately believing that he hated AEW during the builds to their match. Like, there were some people that were salty over it, from what I understood. And Reverie says, I need to give them a satisfactory explanation or I will be pissed. Him being pissed is the satisfactory explanation, whatever that may be.
So here's the deal. Young Bucks, I think this is how I would do it after tonight. This is what it seems. This was the most likely scenario. The Young Bucks really want to get on Moxley's good side. They got Gabe Kidd to come in and help Moxley win the match. And what Gabe Kidd gets out of it is unfettered access to the kicking of the ass of Kenny Omega. Because Gabe Kidd still friggin' hates that dude. You know who else he hates also? Will Ospreay. Like, there's a bunch of dudes under contract to AEW that Gabe Kidd now gets to murder because the Young Bucks brought him in. And he probably paid him a shit ton of money. Like, that is enough for this. Now, the Young Bucks seemed very surprised when Swerve came in and then said, let's have an Anarchy in the Arena match. But you know they're going to have the match. And you know that Kenny Omega is going to be in it. And if Gabe Kidd then, now I can, like, people have been attempted to be lit on fire in multiple Anarchy in the Arena matches. Gabe Kidd is all about doing that to Kenny Omega. So that makes sense there. If he's sticking around for any length of time, even until Forbidden Door, if Will Ospreay wins the title at All In, the guy he faces for that title has got to be Gabe Kidd. At Forbidden Door, two British boys, like in Wembley. That's it. You got to do that. You got to figure out a way to get to that point. The thing of it is now you see on the outside six guys and a girl. You see what's left of the Death Riders plus the Young Bucks plus Gabe Kidd, Marina Shafir. On the inside of the cage is Swerve, Samoa Joe, Will Hobbs. And Kenny Omega and Willow. So they still need two extra dudes. Now we haven't seen Shibata and Hook in a while. So those guys are possibly there as well.
Here's some natural inquisition. Could Eddie be close to a comeback to join Team Swerve?
God, I hope so.
I hope so too. Here, like if we want to add some realistic timeline to this.
Yeah.
He tore his knee about a year ago, like this week. He implied that he didn't have knee surgery till late June, early July. Mm-hmm. I don't see Eddie Kingston having a recovery much quicker than like Charlotte Flair.
Right.
Or somebody like that. But I would love to
but
be wrong.
If all he is doing is walking around an arena, hitting guys with trash cans, and he's not like doing moves, is would he be cleared to do that? Because that would be enough. Anarchy in the Arena, if he's just out there with a blowtorch and a crowbar, I feel like that's enough. He doesn't need to do much, but it would be the most impactful. Hey, we only have five guys. I mean, Hook got healthy, but Shibata's still injured. So we got Hook. So that's five of us. We only have five. Our sixth guy's showing up as a surprise at Double or Nothing. The most impactful surprise entrant on that side of things is Eddie Kingston solely because it would make Mox turn white as a sheet. And also Gabe Kidd. Gabe Kidd is the dude who injured Eddie Kingston. So like him, like now all of a sudden you cancel out that dude because Gabe Kidd wants to take out Kenny Omega, but Eddie Kingston is going to have to go through me to get to anybody, mother effort.
Funny tie into that. I asked Gabe Kidd last year, like in a pseudo kayfabe question, does it bother you that Eddie Kingston is already planning beyond your match for like an Anarchy in the Arena match? Because it seems like he might not emerge from that healthy with you. And I don't usually curse on this show, but you can guess what he said. And it's, I don't care in his way. And I'll tell you this, like I was talking with AEW today. I was like, you know, I want to interview somebody for Double or Nothing. They're like, well, let's see how Dynamite hashes out unless there's somebody you want specifically. And the moment he popped up on the screen, I said, Gabe Kidd, LOL, give me him. Yeah. That's who I want. Yeah. So James Zimmerman says, wearing my AEW Bash the Beach t-shirt, watching the show, having a great time. Not familiar with Gabe Kidd, but excited to find out. Well, are you in luck? Because over on Fightful Scraps, our clips channel that doesn't get nearly enough love, I recently had Kyler put together a Gabe Kidd Fightful interview compilation.
Fantastic.
And it's really, really good. Like, I don't know if I enjoy interviewing anybody quite as much as Gabe Kidd. Like, he's phenomenal to do business with, to interview. And I got to say, I have never been more scared through the screen when I interviewed him. I mediated he and Mance Warner, which is a psychotic situation.
Yep.
But Gabe Kidd is, when it comes to pro wrestlers, I don't think since MJF did I interview someone for the first time and go, they are a sure thing, quite as much as him.
Yeah.
And then he has become such a sure thing. I would fully expect Gabe Kidd versus Will Ospreay as the main event of Forbidden Door in the UK.
Yeah.
To UK dudes. James Zimmerman wants the Mad King. Jambeard says, didn't Gabe Kidd and the War Dogs just face the Bucks and Good Brothers at the New Japan pay-per-view? So that's something that's going to have to be reckoned, because they walked away from the two sweet. And Spencer Trainer says, smaller chat than I'd like, but I like the ending. Swerve off the top of the cage and Gabe Kidd. Will War Dogs also join, or just Kidd? So that is the big plot hole that I want reckoned, because it wasn't like a super hateful thing, but like it was the OG Bullet Club saying, we recognize you guys as the current Bullet Club. Please do this. And then they walked away. So I guess we'll see. But, man, we still got a bunch of super chats, humper chats. I love that Willow and Marina are involved in this as
Yeah. Give the ladies some love. Make a co-ed Anarchy in the Arena match is fine. They can just pair off and beat each other up on a concourse, squirt some mustard in each other's faces. It'll be fun.
And Tony says Willow got paid and was rewarded with being the first woman to main event an AEW pay-per-view. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That will be a thing. That's interesting. Yeah. Brian more or less says that ending was an overbooked mess, and I hate that I loved it so much. It was great and overall for me. Yeah. Listen, overbooked can be great when it's great. Like,
right. This is the thing about this kind of stuff. This kind of thing absolutely required an insanely overbooked schmozzy finish with everybody coming out, Swerve jumping off the top of a cage, all that stuff. This kind of thing required it. It needs it. The problem I have with it is when things that don't require it have it anyway, because then it cheapens it and makes it feel less than when you do it where it is needed and required. So, like, this is the kind of thing I'm always going to be down for when it's being done correctly. When you just throw it in at the end of a random Dynamite just because we have no other ideas, or at the end of a random Raw or SmackDown or whatever. It cheapens everything else, so that the great ones look worse by comparison.
I like that the Death Riders is a thing that it's not a situation where it's like, well, let's just throw a bunch of people in Blood and Guts. Let's throw a bunch of people into War Games. It is a group that has terrorized this company for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Spencer Trainer says, I'm at the point where I want Swerve as champ forever. Again, I think AEW is constructing, I think when you build a number of great baby faces up, mm-hmm. and you got four really good ones, I think that's a great place to be. A great place to be. I beg for Willow to have a Kingston with the gas camp. She's gotta have a violent moment.
Oh my God. I want to know. She hooks up Marina Shafir to a car battery, just like something like that.
She is going to like pounce Gabe Kidd into a moving vehicle or something like that. Like,
there you go.
Something crazy is going to happen.
There you go.
I don't see.
Hold on. Okay, I'm going to do it. They put the spaces in the wrong place.
Oh, Willow belongs in
AEW, and Swerve is such a star, and this is going to be a greatest double or nothing.
So I can tell you what happened here. They have a friend named Wynn, N-G-U-Y-E-N, and it immediately auto-corrected their typo
there
to that person's name.
Yeah, there we go.
But Stala World, I appreciate you. I'm so pumped for Mercedes, Jamie, Anarchy in the Arena, and Osprey Hangman.
Oh. Yeah.
Good stuff. Of course, my friend Vicky. Now, guys, you can't see this, but I only have one of Sting's final water bottles because my good friend Vicky here has the other one. I sent her that as well as some other things. I was so happy that we could make you smile. She says, my treatments can't interfere with AEW time. Hope the two ladies get involved with Anarchy. Great show. Is Swerve next? I don't quite know what's next for Swerve after this, but it's very clear that they are positioning him as someone that obviously tip top. And I love that he says he is the Fear. That's a hell of a nickname to have too. That's almost like a Triple H. I am the game moment for him. I feel like.
Yeah. I would love to see Swerve get a serious push coming out of All Out through this fall into the spring. If Will Ospreay is the guy who wins the title at All In, Swerve ends up, maybe it's the thing that I was talking about. If the lineage goes from Moxley to Ospreay, from Ospreay to Ricochet, and from Ricochet to Swerve, because I love that Ricochet and Swerve have this thing that's never going to go away either. I think that could be a really good lineage to get back to Swerve by that point.
Oh man, we've got Mike Owen saying A+ crowd, another great show tonight. Yeah, and first off, they're drawing more people in Chicago than they were. That's what you want to see, that incremental increase. And this wasn't incremental. This is like several thousand more. And they just announced the residency. I don't know how that's going to hit. We'll see. I'm sure they're getting paid money for the residency, I'll almost assume. But you're seeing these a lot more in wrestling. Like, it's very interesting. And I remember once upon a time, I think it was either Atlantic City or Vegas, they were going to do like a WWE casino residency of some sort. Mm-hmm. But Brian says, oh, we also read that one. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says, AEW is on a roll. Tony versus Mina feels like a Mariah appearance. Feels like creative gets better. Things to make just no sense. ROH on AEW TV. I'm so frustrated by the ROH thing.
I really thought they could make it into AEW's NXT, where you would just, here are some people who are sequestered over there. They're going to work programs. And when they are done doing the programs, they have a title run down there or whatever. Then they go up to the main roster of Dynamite and Collision. And I think that you can figure out a way to like make it so it's not a demotion for the people who, we don't have anything for you to do on Dynamite or Collision, but we got a really cool program in mind for you if you go down to ROH. I think you could have done that, but now it's just like everybody's which way. This person's a champion here, but never shows up in ROH. They're only ever on. Athena is the only person who's only ever allowed to wrestle in ROH and never on the main roster except for like one or two times.
It's frustrating. Like, it's frustrating.
Very frustrating.
Meet Normus says, hello, bruvs. The Blade shot lariat finish was a chef's kiss. AEW does Can They Coexist better than others? They really do. That is a strong suit of theirs. Hanger, Ospreay, and Anarchy sold me a ticket. Oh, man.
Yeah.
If there were easy flights, that's a show that I would consider going to. But by God, I'll be here doing the post-show review and giving you guys all the news. Jambeard says, give me a spot in the match where the Bucks tried to repeat the golf cart spot to hit Swerve, but Willow pounces the cart and knocks them over. That's kind of a good idea as well. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We are wrapping up. Spencer says, Willow powerbombs Mox through a flaming table after he tries to kill her. Or do you think that's unrealistic? I want her jacket, Willow, for champ. Oh, I think that Willow will probably get her lick back on Mox after all these weeks. I think it's a real possibility that we see Mox taking a bump for her.
It's very possible we see Mox taking a bump for her, but who we're definitely going to see get put through several things by her is Yuta. Yuta bumping for Willow Nightingale is something I want to see how far she can pounce Yuta. We can measure it in tens of feet. That's what I want to see, how far she can pounce Yuta.
Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me over at Alex Sour Graps on all the media's social, and on FIFA Select. We're reviewing Raw on Mondays and SmackDown on Fridays. We usually do a 1 hour watch along of the final hour or reviewing the first 2 hours of the show. There's all kinds of extracurricular things coming up soon. There's a Saturday Night's Main Event that I might review at some point. Double or Nothing at the same time show.
Nobody gives stop plugging it. Nobody gives a shit. No,
nothing else I can think of that I'm going to review one soon.
Big ROH is a mess. Oh, Alex's opinions. I'm going to bust out the You Have Opinionated Wrongfully t-shirts
from
the Fightful Archives.
Yeah.
And thank you, James. It was awesome. You all showed out for this show.
Yeah.
I know those dirty Brits aren't covering AEW anymore, so I hear. Yeah. Yeah. The Wrestle Talks. I hear you, Ollie.
You know, we can't cover this anymore. We can't do it.
And Luke's over there like, yeah, we're not getting enough views on it at all. Actually, I have no idea. I just saw people pretending to be upset about it. But we'll cover it, by God. And I love those gentlemen anyway. But I'll tell you what I wouldn't stand for. Alex being like, I will not cover Hot Rod. I will not watch it at all. No. It's a little holier than thou bullshit that you got going on.
I watched it. Now I have to talk about it, I guess, at some point.
It's a phenomenal film.
It is the opposite of that. It is not that.
It's really incredible.
To me, in my opinion.
Sir, it made $14.4 million at the box.
That much.
Yeah, it was on a $25 million budget, but still. Mm. Well, let's check out some of the ratings for this. 39% on Rotten Tomatoes. You know how I know Rotten Tomatoes.
That's too high.
You know how I know Rotten Tomatoes is bullshit? Because Joe Dirt 2 has a higher rating than Joe Dirt 1. That's how I know it's ridiculous. Vicky, are you watching? Like, it is so funny. Like, it is sincerely the dumbest ass movie ever, and I love it.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
I'm not a fan of dumb comedy.
What is the dumbest movie that you have enjoyed?
That I've enjoyed. Oh yeah. God.
Cause like, I will say this, like, again, Dukes of Hazzard. I hate that movie with Johnny Knoxville and Sean William Scott, but there are at least 15 lines that I find insanely hilarious in that movie.
Yeah. It's
like they just had a movie around 15 very funny lines with no concept, you know?
Yeah, no. I mean, I usually don't like dumb movies. I like movies that are clever but masquerade as dumb. Sure. Those are fun, but no, the other ones, the ones that are the opposite, which are really dumb but masquerade as clever.
I just find this good. I just find The Rundown was just fun, and Clerks 2 is
entirely different. Yeah,
Clerks 2 is again a heavily dialogue movie, but if once you watch Clerks 3, it adds a lot more gravity to the other Clerks movies.
Okay, I get it. Yeah,
I think there's a lot more. Waiting. Okay, listen, it is very hard to upset or offend me or anything, but I rewatched Waiting because I thought it was amazing. I was like, a lot of this makes me very uncomfortable these days in my old age.
There's a lot of stuff from that era that you can't look at and go, oh, I shouldn't be watching this. Yeah.
Old school's just good. Yeah. It's phenomenal. Paul Blart. That one's one I thought was a terrible movie. You know what? Accepted is one of the dumbest movies that I enjoy. I don't know. Because I'm just like, why didn't these kids go to community college? Why'd they invent a college? That's dumb. But also very funny lines. Dogma is, again, just a good movie.
Yeah, no, that's very clever. That's
one of the greatest things I have ever seen on TV was when Jay and Silent Bob are following the woman and they go, guys like us just don't fall out of the sky, you know. And Chris Rock falls out of the sky. And then Jay goes, beautiful, naked, big titty bitches don't just fall out of the sky, you know. That is high humor. That is really good stuff. Love Guru. Okay, I've never watched that because the trailer that imagine this, Alex. Mm-hmm. Imagine this.
Mm-hmm.
You thought Hot Rod looked terrible.
Yeah, I did.
Love Guru's trailer was so bad that I go, yeah, I ain't ever watching that.
No. You could tell from watching that was going to be some weird thing. They were like, hey, Mike Myers, do you have any other wacky characters? And he was like, sure, I got this one.
Although it did have it had one of my favorite trailer jokes ever, surrounded by a bunch of other things that didn't look funny. But when he said, I had a hat like that once, then my mom got a job. And I was like, that's a good line. But everything else was bad.
Yeah. So this is probably the answer. Although this is really clever, but it is masquerading as dumb. Like, that's probably it. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, probably the dumbest movie that I unabashedly
really
love. Great. Yeah.
See, people have some good answers here because this is one I never watched. Like, no. Adam Sandler is one of those guys where I know that I'm not gonna watch his movies if it mm-hmm. looks really, really terrible. Because it's wild to me that this man can have Uncut Gems and Jack and Jill.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't know how square
Pootie. You know, Undercover Brother was a good one. Freddy Got Fingered is probably, yeah, the stupidest movie that I have ever enjoyed. Harold and Kumar is just, that is what it is. That movie is what it is. But, yeah. Well, guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. I am excited for you guys to see Alex's review of Hot Rod. I think that's like a new series. Is Alex just watching lowbrow comedy?
Oh God! I'd rather watch Jericho matches. Please,
like Kung Pao.
Don't make me,
guys. Until next time, we're out.